Our scripture today is from Paul's second letter to Timothy, reading from the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in service gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to satisfy the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will grant you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, as preached in my gospel, the gospel for which I am suffering and wearing fetters like a criminal. But the word of God is not fettered. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation, which in Christ Jesus goes with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and charge them before the Lord to avoid disputing about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. May we pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for this day, and we thank thee for the privilege of worship. And we pray as we bow in thy midst today that thy spirit might so speak to our hearts that we might be challenged as we seek to live as Christians. Our Father, we thank thee for the calling whereunto thou hast called us. And we pray that thou would help us to be diligent in thy service. Our Father, we also pray that we might be concerned one for another. And we pray that thy grace and love and mercy, which is from everlasting unto everlasting, might sustain us. We thank thee, our Father, for the venture that we experience in this place. And we pray that thou would help us to do what we will in order to grow and to mature as Christians. We pray thy blessings today upon all who are in need. We ask that thy healing hand might be upon them. We ask that thy guidance might abound in our lives. Bless us now, we pray, as we seek to praise thy name. For it is in thy name that we pray. Amen. We, as students of Southeastern Seminary, have much for which we should be grateful. The opportunities which this community affords the serious student who knows God's call to Christian responsibility are great indeed. Assuming that none here takes lightly the pilgrimage that he has embarked upon, Southeastern Seminary, with its dedicated faculty and administration, presents outstanding challenges. It challenges us into meaningful service. It challenges us to strive for academic excellence. It calls us into meaningful dialogue, one with another and with the world. It encourages fellowship in the seminary family. It calls us to be genuinely concerned about people. And it seeks to lead us, all of us, into a deeper awareness of God. So I believe that we should rightfully express our deep appreciation for this school and for the meaningful venture to which it is called. At this time, two of our senior students, Steve Neal and David Norris, will share with us some reflections on the opportunities of this seminary experience.
Like for us to bow just a moment in silent prayer, thanking God for this great opportunity that we have to attend this institution. Our Father, we pray that in these years of Christian growth and experience, that Thou would be with us and guide us through this pilgrimage of learning. And may we always try to use the time to develop ourselves as ministers of Christ. Through His name we pray. Amen. I'd like for us to think for a few moments about opportunities of Christian growth here at the seminary. As I look back over my life, I can sincerely say that I'm thankful for these 3 years that I've had to come and study at Southeastern Seminary. And a few years ago, I would have never dreamed that I would be standing here today. As the son of a minister, I rebelled against God's calling to the ministry a long time because I knew almost from a first-hand situation the difficulties that was involved in the gospel ministry. I'd seen my father come home many times distressed because he had tried to help someone that was sick and hopelessly dying, yet he was unable to at times. And for many reasons, I saw that there was a lot of difficulties in the Christian experience as a minister. But gradually I began to look at the other side of the ministry, to the people that I could help. And this is when I came to make my decision to do the best I could as a minister. And I promised God with His help, I'd try to do what I could in the ministry. When my father heard about my decision to go into the ministry, one of the first things he told me was that you have to get a college and a seminary education if you expect to really be fruitful in the Lord's ministry. You see, he had never had the opportunity of formal education. He had a large family, 7 of us children to support. And it was just impossible for him. But he saw the need of it in his ministry, and he stressed that my brother and I both get all of the education that we possibly could. I set out in college to try to attain all of the education that I could gain, and I didn't ever dream that I would even complete college, because I knew I was handicapped mentally and I was handicapped financially. But the Lord took care of both of these things because He promised to be with me. After college, I was faced with the task of whether or not I would go on into the seminary. Many ministers that I knew told me that it wouldn't be wise to go on into the ministry or the seminary, because they had a way of brainwashing you. So, with mixed emotions, I applied for admission and was accepted, and I came to face the evils that a seminary had to offer. It was with this skeptical decision that I came, and I got a room over at the old Hunter dorm. I don't know how many of you remember this, where our student center is presently located. But I enjoyed the Christian fellowship that I had with the men there. They accepted me as a person. And we had our prayer meetings together. And we had these moments of bull session that brought a lot of insight to me. And I saw that this wasn't the devil's den here at the seminary, but it was a place of spiritual growth, a place where one could really follow God's call for him in the ministry. And I thank God for our Christian faculty, for their devotion. They've meant a lot to me. To see men who had every opportunity to really make a lot more money in other areas, other positions of teaching, but they stayed on here through thick and thin to help train green preachers like me. And I thank God for them, and I think that we ought to praise them more, because I know at times they get discouraged, thinking that they might not be accomplishing anything. A lot of people try to evaluate their Christian growth, and it's hard, I think, for one to look at himself objectively and see how much he has come during 3 years or whatever part of formal education that we have. But I can see a lot of growth experience that has taken place in my own life, and I thank God for it. I can't say with Paul that I have already attained, because I know that I'm just beginning. But this school has equipped me with the tools with which to go on out and use them in the Lord's work. So let us take the tools that are given us here and be faithful ministers of Christ as we go out and live and work for Him as ministers. Not only can I see growth in my own life, but I see it in my fellow classmates. And even though we're not classmates with the certificate class, I've been really impressed with this wonderful program that our school offers these young men. And some that are older, who never had an opportunity for a college education, because my father failed to have this opportunity. And I see the growth process that takes place in these men's lives. And I thank God for this wonderful institution and others like it that are devoted in training ministers. God is using our seminary God is blessing us here. And let us never think that we have a place that brainwashes us, that we have a place that we can be filled both with education and the Spirit of God. If we only but subject ourselves to it, we can truly say that it has been a blessing to study here at Southeastern.
Reflections on the opportunity of a seminary experience. Steve has spoken to you about the opportunity for spiritual growth. I would like to direct my remarks towards the opportunity of fellowship and the opportunity of dialogue. Dr. Sam Hill at UNC often said that worshiping alone is like trying to applaud with one hand. I think a fitting corollary can be made in the area of theological study. For to study alone is in many ways like trying to applaud with one hand. To study out of the context of fellowship and dialogue is not nearly as meaningful as is study with your brothers in Christ. There are many benefits to dialogue. As a first-year student and a second-year student, I felt that I was receiving many facts and many concepts from many different areas, and that divinity certainly was the broadest type of discipline in existence. And it was very difficult for me to be able to assimilate all that I was receiving. But the bull sessions in the dorm, the period spent in the coffee shop, the time when there was dialogue in the classroom helped me greatly to synthesize all that was coming in from many different directions. And we could go on to list many other opportunities and many other advantages to dialogue here on campus, but there's one that is so important that it must stand out above all the rest. We are living in a split world, a world of broken nations, broken homes, and it seems even broken churches. I've been in classes on this campus when some of the people would sit on one side of the class and seemingly there would be a barrier between those on the other side of the classroom. You could feel the ill feelings in the air. In the book, The Miracle of Dialogue, the opening sentences say, every person is a potential adversary. Where there is no dialogue, there is hatred. The author, Howe, says that dialogue is to love what blood is to the body. We have the answer to this that the split world needs. We have the answer to dialogue. We can possess this gift. It is ours for the taking, the love of Jesus Christ. is not only an opportunity, it's a command. It's a necessity. Ingram Johnson, the president now of the SCC, began this year by saying that he would like to see our students pull together, our certificate students, our graduate students, our MDiv students. He would like to see us unite in one body. We can do this. We must do this. It's what the Christian experience is all about. And we have the gift that will enable us to share in one another's being and the truth that we have experienced.
May we pray together. Our gracious Father, we pray that Thou would go with us now as we seek to do Thy will. And we pray that Thou would ever challenge our hearts that we might live according to Thy way. We ask that our lives might be filled with Christian concern and dedication, that we might humbly and sincerely serve Thee. For it is in Thy name that we pray. Amen.